Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Ringside Report. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time, and you're listening to the Ringside Report.
This is Daniel Bryan, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
One a classic, shout out to my borough, worldwide respect. I run up for them, can't lock it like this one. I ride out for my PNC, my family tree.
Welcome to Wrestling Uncensored. I am Dave Simon. With me this week, El Norte, the big man, Mr. Genesis himself, Johnny North, back on the program. A lot of pro wrestling to get to here tonight. Of course, you can check us out online at www.wrestlinguncensored.net. Live here every Saturday night on TSN 990, soon to be a TSN 690 on your AM dial, starting later this week. So check us out down on the dial at 690 as well. Next week, a special edition of Wrestling Uncensored. Before we get this one kicked off, next week will be our 100th episode. It will be a special show. We will do a longer edition of Wrestling Uncensored next week, and we will be live in studio, as we're not always in studio for the show. But next week, myself, Johnny North, and Jeremy Prophet, the whole Wrestling Uncensored crew, will be live in the TSN 690 studios, and we'll be breaking down professional wrestling and taking your calls. So everybody all around the world, you guys have been asking for it. You guys have been waiting for the next live show. It will go down next week, Saturday night. I think our start time will be 10 p.m. Eastern. So get ready. We want to hear from you. We want to take your phone calls next week. Always a great time when we're live in studio taking phone calls, hearing from our buddies out in Ireland, out in England, all over the United States. It's just great to hear from our friends all around the world, and you know, we look forward to hearing from you next week. Should be a lot of fun. Also on the program next week on Wrestling Uncensored Episode 100, we will hear from a WWE superstar. So we'll talk not only amongst ourselves about professional wrestling, but we'll also hear from one of the guys that steps into Monday Night Raw. He's actually a champion right now on the Raw brand, and SmackDown as well. He's one of the champions in the WWE, and he will speak to us next week on the program. So a big show next week. We'll have a WWE superstar and a live show taking your phone calls. Should be a lot of fun, but we have a lot of fun to get to here tonight, as well as lots of stuff went down in the WWE this week. John, where do you want to start? You want to start with CM Punk and Jerry Lawler? What did you think about that? CM Punk cutting his in-ring promo with Jerry Lawler to start the show, challenging Lawler to a match. Of course, all this started last week on Raw, with Lawler refusing to say that Punk was the best in the world, and Punk kicking him in the head. Punk challenging Lawler to a fight. Lawler saying, maybe I'll fight you. And then for some reason, you know, two segments down the road on Raw, Lawler said, okay, I will fight you later tonight. It was a steel cage match. Punk bled. Well, what did you think of the whole CM Punk, Jerry Lawler story here on Raw this past week?
Overall, I thought it was a little long for a steel cage match, but it was pretty much one-sided. I don't think anyone ever had a doubt that CM Punk was going to destroy Jerry Lawler. And the bleeding, it seemed like an accident. I don't think Punk meant to bleed, but other people have speculated that Punk did that to add some more excitement to the match.
Yeah.
And to explain why he would be a little bit more violent to Lawler. I don't know. I don't think he did it on purpose.
Really? So you don't think that he bladed? You don't think that he took a blade and cut himself on purpose to get a little bit of color, as they say, in that match, which I think he did. I think he did. I'm pretty sure I saw when he did it as well. Lawler threw some punches at him, and then he kind of covered his face and did a little rubbing motion on his forehead, and then boom. He was bleeding. I'm pretty sure that's when he did it. I don't think Jerry Lawler busted him open the hard way. I'm pretty sure that was a blade job. I've heard different rumors, you know, that CM Punk was fined $500,000 for that, which is crazy. He actually tweeted, he said, $500K, just another drop in the bucket of blood, which I think, you know, I thought that was an interesting tweet, and you know, it makes you wonder, if CM Punk did blade, and he did get fined $500,000, and he's saying, it's nothing for me, I mean, this guy must be making, as the primetime players would say, millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions of dollars. I don't know, man. I mean, it seemed to me like he did a blade job on Raw. I didn't see any point where Lawler would have done something that would have busted him open for real. I think he did it as a little bit of a sign of respect to Jerry Lawler. I mean, you look at Lawler, even with you know, all the makeup that he's wearing and the HD lights that they've got on him, you could still see all the scars on his forehead from all the blade jobs that he had done from his years of wrestling in Memphis. CM Punk is a guy that looks at the history of wrestling and respects it and understands professional wrestling. And to me, a steel cage match needs a little blood. If it's going to be a fight, you know, I mean, this is something I was talking about last week on the show about Triple H and Brock Lesnar and saying, these guys didn't bleed. It was supposed to be a fight, and there was, like, no blood in it. I would have liked to have seen one of them blade in that match and, you know, give the fans a little more excitement. And I think CM Punk realizes, hey, this is a steel cage match. Traditionally, these are matches that are very bloody. Jerry Lawler is a guy who's bladed tons in the past. I'm going to pay tribute to him. I don't care if the WWE says we're not allowed to bleed on TV. I'm going to do it because I'm a wrestler and this is what we do. And I actually hope that he did blade and he wasn't busted open accidentally. I hope that he did just for the respect of the business, you know, and I actually think that he did and I respect him for it very much, which is, you know, kind of a weird thing, but you really have to understand wrestling to understand where I'm coming from. But, you know, I kind of hope he did blade and I think he did. And I give him all the props in the world for doing it. The guy is a real wrestler, and he plays by his own rules, and I like that. I like that a lot, and he's willing to do what's right for the business and what's right for the history of wrestling and what's right for the old-timers, and I give him all the respect in the world for that. I think he did blade, and mad props to him if he did.
It just seems very odd that he's the one who bleeds and Lawler doesn't, considering the beating he put on Lawler. It didn't seem to make much sense, and we've had steel cage matches in the past. We had seen a Big Show on pay-per-view in a steel cage main event. No blood. So it just seems very oddly placed to have it there.
Well, yeah, but that was Cena and Big Show, no blood. They're told, guys, you can't bleed, and they look at it, oh, it's a steel cage match, okay, I won't bleed, and then there you go. But, you know, that's Cena and Big Show, and that's why I have respect for CM Punk if he goes out there and he bleeds, because this is what you're supposed to do in a steel cage match. And, you know, whether or not he was busted open the hard way or not, you know, if he did it himself or something happened accidentally in the match, either way, I have respect for CM Punk. I think he did it on purpose. You notice referee Charles Robinson told him to actually wipe the blood off of his head. He did so, but then the blood was all over his tape. It looked pretty good. And, I think for the respect of the business and for the respect of Jerry Lawler, he bladed on purpose. I'm not a huge Jerry Lawler fan, but I get it. You know, Jerry Lawler was big in Memphis. He's been a big part of the wrestling business, and CM Punk is showing his respect. And I think CM Punk is very good at that. He respects the business. You know, and he shows a level of respect for the business that I don't think is prevalent amongst most of the top wrestlers in the game right now. He's got a different level of respect for the wrestling business. Not for the entertainment business, but for the wrestling business and the history of wrestling. And that's why, you know, I like him as WWE champion. I think he represents the business very well.
Well, I think you bring up a great point where he represents wrestling. Like, that seemed to be the whole, like, start of his character turn was just him saying that it's not about entertainment, he's not an entertainer, he's a wrestler. And it seemed he wanted to go back to those roots of being, you know, it should be about wrestling and how, like, WWE should talk about wrestling, since they don't really seem to see themselves as wrestlers anymore, just entertainers.
That's right. And Punk was the guy who, I think, I mean, you can trace it way back to that famous promo, the famous pipe bomb, the initial, you know, promo by Punk on the stage where he said, you know, I'm a wrestler. I'm not an entertainer. And this has been something that he's been pushing for his entire run as a babyface and as a heel. And, you know, before he said these things, you couldn't say that you were a wrestler. I mean, that word was basically banned from the WWE. You were a sports entertainer or just an entertainer, and you couldn't say wrestling, you couldn't say wrestler. But now everybody says it, and I think that's one of the things that Punk has changed. He's brought it back to what it is. It's wrestling. And sometimes the WWE's biggest problem is that they don't know who they are, or, you know, they're trying to disassociate themselves from what they actually are, and that is a professional wrestling company. And that's what Punk represents, professional wrestling. And I like that.
I definitely like how they're slowly making him a heel. I think pretty much he is a heel, but he'll still be appreciated for what he does, because, like, no one is like him in WWE at this point. However, due to the PG direction, I think Cena's going to get a lot of support, because Cena's seen as the guy who will stand up for people that will get beat up like Lawler. And considering it's in Cena's hometown, the next pay-per-view,
yeah,
I expect Cena should get cheered over Punk.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. It would make the most sense. And, you know, it's very possible Cena take the belt. But Cena said something very interesting. You know, to gain the respect, was it Cena or was it Lawler? Somebody said to Punk that to really gain the respect and to really be looked at as best in the world, you had to go into Boston and beat John Cena and walk out with the championship. And I think that, you know, a lot of people might be expecting John Cena to become new WWE champion on September 16th, but it would do tremendous things for CM Punk's legacy and CM Punk's current title run if he were to walk into Boston champion, beat John Cena, and walk out still champion. That would be just huge. It would just be huge for CM Punk.
I can't remember the last time like Cena like was in a WWE title match, no stipulation, and he didn't walk out as champion. I think it was Triple H the last time that happened. So it's hard to believe Cena would lose, because he seems to always overcome the odds. Even though Punk seems to have his number, Cena seems to always come back in the end.
Yeah, but this might be different. And imagine if he doesn't, right? What does that say about CM Punk? It says he's amazing. It says he is the best in the world. You know, it says a lot if CM Punk is the guy to go into Cena's hometown and beat him clean, which never happens. It would be, I think it would be just gigantic for CM Punk, and, you know, especially for this title run. It's been such a long run. They're really trying to make it into something. You know, this title run means something, and you know, I think it would mean even more if he beats Cena in his hometown.
I think it could be the biggest win of his career at this point. I mean, I know he won at WrestleMania against Jericho, but against Cena, it seems Cena, you know, again, face of the company, and the fact that everyone believes it's going to be Cena and The Rock in the end, the fact that if Punk can just deny Cena, I think that goes a long way showing how great of a champion CM Punk is.
So we'll see what happens. Of course, that pay-per-view, just, I think, 3 weeks away now, WWE Night of Champions, getting right up to it. Should be an interesting pay-per-view. End of Raw, we saw John Cena chase off CM Punk. Of course, if you're a heel in the WWE, you got to be cowardly once in a while, and you got to be a bully, as CM Punk was beating up on Jerry Lawler post-match. John Cena runs down, tells the guys to lift the cage, and the cage lifts, and CM Punk, of course, runs away from John Cena, and that closed out Monday Night Raw. You know, it was all right. Elsewhere on Raw, Triple H and the actually, you know what? Before we get to Triple H's retirement promo, how about John Cena? Let's stick with the champ, John Cena. He defeated The Miz this week on Raw quite cleanly. Looked nothing like their matches that they were having a couple years ago where The Miz was getting all the over. This was, you know, a lot like when Cena just ran through David Otunga. Cena comes in, runs through the Intercontinental Champion Miz in a non-title match, and gets a pinfall victory after the attitude adjustment. I like seeing that, and I think that Miz was getting the clean beating from Cena as maybe a little bit of punishment for injuring Rey Mysterio.
Well, I think they're doing this a lot now with the new number one contenders for like the World Heavyweight and the WWE title, is that they'll beat the second-rated champions. So, like, Del Rio did the same thing, too, where he just seemed unstoppable. And I think they're trying to build Cena up a bit. I mean, Cena's taken a couple of losses as of late, so he kind of needed to be built up again, I think.
I guess so. I just think it's funny how different that match went compared to, you know, when Miz was WWE champion. It's just, it's so ridiculous to see how those matches were built with Miz getting so much over, and then you see this one, and it's just Cena runs right through him. And it's not like we forget all those matches they had. How can you forget? There was like a million of them.
Well, it's great, too, that Miz, I think a couple weeks ago, reminded us that he was in that main event match against Cena.
Yeah.
So, and then to see that, it just shows you how things can change so quickly. But I think, again, this is a great role for Miz, where he is the Intercontinental Champion, but he'll lose to the main eventers pretty much all the time. And eventually, he'll put over a new up-and-coming talent.
You think Ryback's going to be the next Intercontinental Champion?
Just imagine that match, Miz against Ryback.
Oh,
especially
boy.
After what we saw with Jack Swagger. Just imagine what he would do to the Miz.
What a mess that was with Jack Swagger. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Jack Swagger is a good wrestler. He can take bumps, you know? And when you're wrestling Ryback, you got a bump. And that's kind of the thing we say about the Miz, right? The guy doesn't take any bumps. How crazy would that be if he would, you know, then have to take them with Ryback? That would be pretty crazy. Ryback almost killed Jack Swagger on a back body drop. A simple, basic wrestling move almost put Jack Swagger out of commission for a long time. What a mess. Ryback cannot bump, that's one thing. And, you know, even some of his moves look a little bit dangerous on offense. And, I don't know. I like Ryback. I think he's a lot of fun to watch, and I like the whole gimmick and all that stuff. It's fun. It's fun. You know, you watch Ryback and you're entertained. But I fear for the safety of his opponents in every match that he's in.
Well, the thing was, it's just that I think the match started off just on the wrong foot. Like, the fact that Ryback's knees, like, he gave a knee strike and he fell. And I think he panicked. And then the whole match just seemed very rushed. I mean, it was only 2 minutes long. And then you get an injury that happens, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they slow down on Ryback a bit now after that.
Was Swagger injured after that match?
He looked like he was legit hurt. When you saw like Ryback just like punch him in the back of the head for like it seemed like quite a bit of time. Like I don't know if he's like hurt now, but it seemed at the time that he was like, "Whoa, we got to slow down."
Yeah, I love how Ryback was throwing those kicks to Jack Swagger and then just fell. He threw a kick and was off balance and just fell on his ass. That was ridiculous. And, you know, you see those moments with Ryback. You see moments of like, oh my God, what a move, what power, that's so crazy. And then you see the moments of like, oh my God, Ryback, oh boy, what a mess.
He seems uncomfortable in the ring at times. Like, I think he's comfortable throwing people around.
Yeah.
But when it comes to actually having a match, it seems there's moments where it's very awkward for him.
Which is not good. You know, that's not good. If you're going to be a WWE wrestler, you got to be comfortable in the ring, especially if you're getting the push that he's getting, you know? I don't mind when Ryback's you know, throwing around like a Curt Hawkins or a Heath Slater or whatever. That's okay. But Jack Swagger is a former world champion. You're throwing this guy around. I mean, again, poor Jack Swagger, man. I think this guy is a real talent, and the WWE has never figured out how to use him.
I think it's a real shame because it seemed at one point they were trying to build a feud with Swagger and Ryback, and like they're going to make Swagger a serious threat to him, but clearly they don't seem to have a lot of faith in Jack Swagger.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. I've heard different things, actually, about why Swagger may not be getting pushed. I heard something recently, actually, about, let's just say, certain recreational habits that he may have, that he may have been getting fined for, that that may be keeping him in the doghouse in the WWE. Let's just put it that way.
Was it some Mary Jane talk? Or?
Those are some rumors that I've heard.
Okay.
Those are rumors that I've heard. And I don't know. I don't know. That's just a rumor, though. I don't know if that's true with Jack Swagger, but it would explain why maybe he's not getting pushed. Maybe they don't have faith in him because, you know, of certain substances. But those are just rumors right now. But I have heard it from a couple pretty credible sources. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Jack Swagger going forward. Doesn't look good for him, though, right now. Okay, how about Triple H? How about that promo that he cut? Basically saying, okay, I lost to Brock Lesnar. I don't know if I can do it anymore. I'd like to say that I would come back and beat Brock Lesnar and come back and be the game, but I'm not sure I can still do that. And age may be catching up to me, and I think it's time to retire. He got emotional. He cried a little bit. And the fans were behind him. You know, it was the reaction that they were looking for Triple H. It's not the end of the game. He will be back. I thought the promo was okay. You know, it did what it was supposed to do. We're not going to see Triple H for a while now. Maybe he'll be back at Survivor Series. Maybe he'll be back at Royal Rumble. Or maybe not until WrestleMania. I have heard they want to do Brock Lesnar Triple H at WrestleMania. I'm not too interested in seeing that. I'd rather see Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. I don't really want to see Triple H and Brock Lesnar again. And, you know, what you're supposed to be feeling in this storyline is compassion for Triple H, and you're supposed to want to see him come back and avenge his loss to Brock Lesnar and beat Brock and show that he's still the game. But, I mean, you're 40-something years old. Brock's, you know, in his mid-30s. Do you really have to come back? I mean, I'm not feeling that kind of compassion for Triple H. I'm not feeling like I need to see him continue to wrestle. And honestly, I think he's had a really great career. He's very busy backstage. He's running a lot of things in the WWE right now. I don't know how much he actually needs to continue and wrestle. I don't even know if he has to work Survivor Series. I guess I would put him at WrestleMania just to add an extra attraction, but I don't think I'd put him up against Brock Lesnar. To me, you want to use Brock Lesnar to put over the younger stars, and also you want to use Triple H to put over the younger stars. So when you're putting those two guys against each other, you're kind of defeating the purpose of having them in the promotion in the first place. So I don't really understand why you'd put them up against each other again. I would rather Triple H lose to Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania and Brock Lesnar do a job to CM Punk or Daniel Bryan or somebody like that, because these are the guys that are going to carry the company forward, you know? Let's see Brock Lesnar do the job to Alberto Del Rio or Sheamus or something like that. Let's see Triple H job to Del Rio. These are the things that I want to see at WrestleMania, because I believe in the future of the company, and I believe in the young stars. And to be quite honest, these are the guys that I would much rather see than a Triple H or a Brock Lesnar. I want to see Del Rio. I want to see Sheamus. I want to see Ziggler. I want to see Punk. I want to see Daniel Bryan. And I want to see these guys featured in the top level. And to do that, you have to put them over the top level superstars, you know, of yesterday. And those are Triple H and Brock Lesnar. And I think that is what these guys need to be used for. Put over the young stars. Stop putting yourselves over. You're over. I mean, we get it. You know what I mean? Triple H doesn't need to put himself over anymore. He's over. Like Rover, brother. Put over, you know, some of these young guys. That's what the business is about.
I agree with a lot of your points, David. But I think they needed to do Lesnar Triple H just because, for a lot of fans growing up, like, they were the champions that never faced each other. They
right.
dominated their brands, and it was a match we never got to see.
Okay.
It was just that special attraction, It was like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. And I didn't mind for the hype for it because it seemed like, wow, this could be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't live up to the hype, but I was definitely intrigued all the way through, though.
But do you want to see it again? Do you want to see it at WrestleMania? Do you want to see it again? I mean, maybe if they threw it on Survivor Series just to pad the card and make it more interesting, or the Royal Rumble, then it'd be like, all right, you want to throw the rematch in there, whatever. I'm not going to be as excited for the rematch as I was for the SummerSlam match. And I agree. I think the match at SummerSlam needed to happen, and it was a good move on their part. But you got to move on. And at some point, you got to put the younger guys over. You can't just let them put themselves over. You know, you're having them wrestle each other, and there's only so high that they can go by beating each other. Let's see them beat, you know, some of the older stars. Like, let's see Undertaker put somebody over. You know, I think it's time to see Brock Lesnar. You know, I think that, you know, it was a weird move when he lost to John Cena at Extreme Rules, but I liked it. I liked that Cena was the guy that went over there, especially after losing to The Rock. I liked that Cena was put over and given that by Brock Lesnar. I just don't see the point in continuing to have Lesnar and Triple H wrestle each other when there's other guys on the roster that could use the rub. You know, why can't Triple H wrestle Dolph Ziggler?
I think there's a lot of guys that both of them could wrestle. I'd rather see a fresh match, definitely.
Yeah.
But it just seems like we're not going to see it for a while because I don't think at this point there's anyone they could really face. Like, Sheamus seems to be busy with Del Rio. And, like, if he would challenge CM Punk again, like, it just seems like the stars you'd want to see wrestle Lesnar, it just seems like everyone's busy at this point. And Lesnar's only for the big pay-per-views. And, like, I'd love to see him against Taker. I understand that, yes, like, Taker's already established. But, again, it's just an interesting matchup, like that Triple H match. And considering that whole incident that happened at UFC when they bumped into each other.
Right.
Like, I just believe there's some real heat there. And I wonder what would happen in a match with those guys.
Yeah, and, you know, I would be down with seeing Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker at WrestleMania because of that whole thing that happened after Brock's loss to Cain Velasquez, with Undertaker in the crowd and saying, "You want to do it?" And then Brock just kind of looking at him and walking away. I wouldn't mind seeing that at WrestleMania because there's clearly interest and it would be a big money match. And that's fine. You want to do that? Go ahead. But, you know, one time only. I don't want to see this as, you know, a feud going and going. If you want to do that big money match, I get it. Lesnar's here for big money matches. But if he's just there to put Triple H over, which it kind of seems like that was the promo, you know, Triple H saying, I'd like to be back, but I don't know if I've got it anymore. I think it's kind of foreshadowing Triple H to come back and get a rematch with Brock Lesnar. And I don't want to see Triple H go over there. I don't really see the point. I don't see the point in the rematch. I don't see the point in that match happening and Triple H going over. Like, you know what I mean? What's the point of Triple H going over in a match with Brock Lesnar? Who cares? Does Triple H really need to get more over?
I think, you know, the only reason Triple H would go over is because he needs to get revenge. It's his character. Like, he always gets revenge. And I don't know about you, I just don't see Triple H's career ending with Lesnar making him tap out.
No, I don't either, but I don't think that he needs to get the revenge on Brock Lesnar to come back and be a legitimate threat against any one of the top superstars that I was talking about. Like, he can come back and say, "Oh, I want to wrestle CM Punk for the title." And, you know, it'll be like, "Oh, well, this will be a legitimate threat here for CM Punk." Even if, you know, he just lost to Brock Lesnar. I don't think that makes much of a difference. Was Brock Lesnar looked at as any less of a monster because he lost to John Cena? I don't think so. And that's the thing with guys like Triple H and Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. No matter what happens, you can lose 1,000 matches, you're still going to be over like crazy because of what you've done in the past. So I don't think Triple H needs that. He doesn't need the rub. Give it to somebody who does. That's my point. You really want to build these guys of the future, Give Brock Lesnar to Sheamus. Sheamus actually cut a promo on SmackDown talking about Triple H. He opened the show. He said Triple H was a great inspiration to him, and he was a real fighting champion just like he wants to be, and he was honored to have wrestled Triple H. I think it would be very cool for Sheamus to want to avenge his mentor, Triple H, and take on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I think that would be awesome. I would love to see Sheamus versus Lesnar. Imagine what kind of match that would be. You want to talk about violence? You want to talk about hard-hitting? That would be a violent, hard-hitting match. And that's the kind of match I want to see Lesnar in. I don't want to see him in an ordinary wrestling match like he had with Triple H at SummerSlam. I want to see him in something violent. And Sheamus could bring that out of him. So why not something like that? I think that would be a lot cooler to see Sheamus and Brock Lesnar. I just don't want to see the rematch, and I want to see a younger guy get that match.
I really do hope we see Lesnar in a different match. It just seems, though, that Triple H eventually is going to get another match with Lesnar, because what else is there for Triple H to do? And you know he's going to come back. Like, he just won't end his career like that.
Yeah, I know. I know, I just don't want to see it. And hopefully they listen to the show and they realize that people don't want to see Triple H and Lesnar again. Hopefully they can understand that. I don't know if they will, but that's the point I'm trying to get across. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one who feels this way. I'll tell you what, John, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. We have a lot more wrestling to talk about. We'll talk about Sheamus. We'll talk about Alberto Del Rio. We'll even talk about one of the Funkadactyls getting a DUI. It's Wrestling Uncensored. I am Dave Simon. He is Johnny North. Follow us on Twitter. Follow John at North Genesis. Follow me at Dave Simon MMA. www.wrestlinguncensored.net is our website. Take a break. Come back with more.
This is Bruno Sammartino, and you're listening to the Ringside Report.
This is Samoa Joe, and you're listening to the Ringside Report.
This is Aaron Sheik, and you're listening to the Wrestling Invention.
Hey, this is Big Sexy Kevin Nash. You're listening to Ringside Report Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Anderson, and you are listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored. Keep listening. Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome to the jungle, well.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. This is Wrestling Uncensored. I am Dave Simon. Johnny North with me this week. We'll be back next week with Jeremy Prophet. It'll be a three-man crew next week. We'll be live in studio taking your phone calls. Should be a lot of fun for Wrestling Uncensored, episode 100. We'll also speak with a WWE superstar on the program. Should be a lot of good stuff next week on the show. Hey, and we're only 1 week away from WWE Raw live, Monday Night Raw, here in Montreal at the Bell Center. One more Raw, and then it's here. I'm excited, John. Raw here in Montreal, it's going to be good stuff. It's been a long time.
It's pretty unique that we get to see the Night of Champions match before it airs on the pay-per-view. So it'll be a nice dark match to have in the main event.
What's a dark match?
It's supposed to be CM Punk against John Cena now.
Oh, okay. Oh, that'd be all right. Well, I look forward to it. Three-hour Raw. Hopefully I get to see Sheamus. Hopefully I get to see Alberto Del Rio. I don't think I've seen Del Rio perform yet in person. I've seen pretty much everybody in the wrestling business for the past, I'd say, 25 years. But I haven't seen Alberto Del Rio. So I'm excited to see Del Rio. All right. Let's get to some other stuff that's going down in the WWE on Raw. Santino Marella defeating Heath Slater. Good to see Santino get back in the win column. Oksana tried to distract him, tried to distract the Cobra. For a minute, the Cobra was distracted, but managed to get his bearings and nail Heath Slater. Heath Slater's just a pure jabroni. Good to see Santino get a win.
Well, it's interesting where Santino's character is going now. He seems to always get involved with women in some capacity. Beth Phoenix, Rosa Mendez. And now this, like, I think it's good for Santino because it gives him something to do. And if he's not going to be champion, at least he's doing something right now on TV.
Yeah, it seems like he's continuing to feud with Antonio Cesaro, which I like. I like that feud, and I think that they could still do more stuff with Santino and Cesaro. You know, Cesaro took the U.S. title from him. I could see Santino trying to get it back. I don't know if he will, but I like it. I like the matches that they have, too. I like to see Cesaro versus Santino. Elsewhere on Raw, where, hey, it was good to see this guy get a win, Zack Ryder gets a clean victory in pretty much a squash match over David Otunga, hitting the Rough Rider, getting the 1-2-3, and it was all over. Zack Ryder with a win, a Kane coming in after the match. It looked like maybe he was going to choke slam Zack Ryder, as that seems like that's what Kane has been doing for the past several months. But instead, he choke slammed David Otunga. I wonder if Kane will turn babyface, and I wonder if maybe we'd see Zack Ryder and Kane as a tag team down the road. I think that would be kind of interesting. You know, bring it all full circle. Ryder screwing Kane so many times, or Kane rather screwing Ryder so many times, beating him up so many times. I think it would be cool to see these two team up at some point.
Well, this is all due to Kane being in anger management, and now Kane's trying to control his anger. He was able to there, but on SmackDown against Josh Matthews, not so much. But I definitely like what they're doing with Kane. It was pretty funny how he brought up Katie Vick and The Undertaker, you know, just how his family life has been a mess.
Yeah.
It was really entertaining because, like, it just shows you, like, how many twists and turns the Kane character has gone through.
Yeah.
Married, I think, several times.
For sure. That was the highlight of Raw, no doubt. The anger management little vignettes that they aired with Daniel Bryan. I think that was okay with Daniel Bryan. You know, Bryan, he's excellent. Very, very funny guy. But Kane, his promo there was just fantastic. It got everybody talking all over the internet. People were excited about Kane's promo, recounting his entire past. You know, Paul Bearer, and I've electrocuted a man's testicles, and I've lit several guys on fire. I buried my brother alive twice. All sorts of crazy stuff that Kane was saying. I had a girlfriend named Katie. Let's not get into that. All sorts of stuff that Kane was going, you know, just recounting his weird, weird storylines that he's had over the past few years. It was hilarious. It was very, very funny, and it was great delivery by Kane. I liked it. I thought it was really, really good. By far, the highlight of Raw.
Kane just seems to be a fun character for the writers to use because there's so many ways they can use him, like. You know, one minute he's this monster, the next minute he's a funny kind of guy that could destroy all the cocky guys. So there's so many ways they can use the Kane character. It seems like all these ideas they have for the Undertaker didn't want to do, they give to Kane.
Yeah, that might be possible. They use Kane as a jobber on SmackDown, though. Alberto Del Rio cutting a promo with Josh Matthews there in the ring. Del Rio telling Matthews that what Kane did to him at SummerSlam, of course, Kane attacking him at SummerSlam, would be nothing compared to what Del Rio was about to do to him. Kane then interrupted and apologized to Josh Matthews, saying it was part of his anger management program. Teddy Long then showed up and made Del Rio versus Kane, Del Rio beating Kane via pinfall after a backcracker type move. Of course, Kane was distracted, though, by Ricardo Rodriguez to help Del Rio get the win. Kane attacking Josh Matthews post-match. I think that's kind of interesting to see, you know, to see Kane attacking Josh Matthews, where it seems like Kane is turning babyface, but then, you know, attacking Matthews. I don't think it does much, though, for Kane to attack Josh Matthews as far as turning him back into a heel. I think that's just, you know, part of Kane. He just likes to attack Josh Matthews. It's part of his gimmick now.
Well, it's like he brought up, he likes to beat up Pete Rose for some reason, and I think just for some reason he likes to beat up Josh Matthews. It's just convenient. It's there. And for some reason, I guess that maybe they don't like Matthews on commentary on SmackDown. They always find a reason to get rid of him.
Yeah, which is interesting, you know. SmackDown now, just a one-man broadcast team. It's all Michael Cole, which is not great. I wouldn't mind seeing somebody else with Michael Cole there. I thought Booker T was amazing. I mean, even bring back Taz or something, you know, just give me something. Mick Foley would be nice. JBL would be nice as well. I don't expect them to come back, but
Regal would be great.
Regal would be amazing. Regal's so good on NXT. I'd love to see Regal take over the SmackDown duties. You know, that's interesting. I don't even know. I mean, why haven't they done that yet?
I think because they like Regal in NXT. I think he's a good veteran who gives good advice to the young up-and-coming talent. I think that's probably why.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, they could double book him and put him on SmackDown because he's amazing. I'd love to see Regal on commentary on SmackDown. Or Santino. Santino's been doing the new WWE Saturday morning show for kids, doing the color commentary with Scott Stanford doing the play-by-play. Hey, Santino and Michael Cole would be pretty good.
It's very, very possible, but I really hope they don't put Santino too much in that role, because once guys get put in that role, it seems they have less and less time wrestling.
Yeah, for sure. If he's in that role, he's probably stuck in that role, and I think he's still good as an active competitor on the roster. Speaking of former commentators, he's now the general manager of SmackDown. Booker T cut an interesting interview backstage on SmackDown with Matt Stryker about AJ Lee's attack on Vicky Guerrero from Raw. In case you missed it, Vicky cut a promo on AJ saying she was a girl and she was not suitable for the general manager's role on Raw. AJ came out and laid a vicious slap on Vicky. I mean, what a wallop AJ hit Vicky with. A pretty nasty slap. It looked very, very stiff. Vicky running out of the ring and AJ just kind of smiling. But Booker T saying that AJ's attack on Vicky from Raw was wrong. And he was speaking out against it, which I think is an interesting turn here by Booker T defending Vicky Guerrero. He also said that AJ should never have made the Jericho versus Dolph Ziggler match with Jericho's WWE contract on the line and Ziggler's Money in the Bank briefcase on the line. He said that she overstepped her bounds and she should never have made that match. He also said that AJ is off her rocker. Which, you know, that's the thing with AJ now. You call her crazy and she gets really mad at you and does all sorts of stuff. Vicky Guerrero then interrupted Booker and said that she has contacted the WWE Board of Directors about AJ's attack on her. And the Board of Directors said they would take action, and she said that they better, because if not, she will. So I think it's an interesting little thing going on here between Booker T, AJ, and Vicky Guerrero. And I think we might be seeing the beginnings of a Survivor Series match. Team AJ versus Team Booker. I mean, why would Booker T, as a babyface general manager, be saying negative things about AJ, who's slapping Vicky, and Vicky's a heel? You know, it's kind of a weird interchange here, as AJ, I guess, is a babyface GM, and Booker is as well, but Booker's defending the heel Vicky Guerrero. What do you make of all that? Do you agree with me? Do you think that maybe they're starting to set up, you know, now in September for the November Survivor Series pay-per-view, maybe a Team Booker versus Team AJ?
I think this opens up a lot of different paths for WWE. It gives them a reason to bring back Jericho, saying that match shouldn't have happened, so Jericho's contract has to be renewed.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, Raw versus SmackDown for Survivor Series, possible. I think it leaves it open that AJ could eventually become heel. But I don't see that happening right away. I think the main point right now is just to drive home the fact that AJ has a very weird personality and can snap at any moment.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's the deal there. But I think they're foreshadowing a little bit of a feud, so it should be interesting to see what happens between Vicky Guerrero and AJ this week on Raw. Speaking of Vicky Guerrero, her main man Dolph Ziggler lost in the main event of SmackDown. Randy Orton hitting Ziggler with the RKO to get the clean 1-2-3 victory on the Zigzag Man. I could see this feud continuing, as Orton losing cleanly to Alberto Del Rio last week on SmackDown, tapping out. Del Rio getting the title shot again at Sheamus at Night of Champions for the World Heavyweight title. Randy Orton doesn't have much to do. He comes back, though, this week in the main event and gets a clean win over Ziggler. you know, maybe they'll have another match at Night of Champions. Other than that, I don't know what Randy Orton's doing.
Well, when Ziggler started this whole push to become Money in the Bank, it started with he wanted to be like Randy Orton. So maybe they're trying to start that up again. It's possible. I mean, Randy Orton, it just seems like he's wrestling anyone at this point. He'll wrestle the top guys, but there's no real huge feud at this point. So they just keep it wide open for Orton. If they need to put him somewhere, they'll just put him where they can.
I think this has something to do with his, second violation of the wellness policy. I think that there's a lack of trust right now in Randy Orton. I don't think that they believe in him. I don't think that they can really put too much investment into him because he's liable to test positive again, and then they'd have to release him. I think that maybe Randy Orton going forward will not be as featured as he has been in the past, and I think it's going to take a long time for him to recover from this latest suspension.
I'd be surprised if he's not used again on pay-per-view. I mean, Randy Orton is still a draw. He still gets a huge reaction when he comes out. Like, I can understand not putting him in, like, a world title match, but at least maybe challenge for the U.S. title or Intercontinental title.
Yeah, I could see that happening, but I do think that Randy Orton is going to take a timeout as far as the main event. I don't think he's going to be back in the main event for a while.
Well, I think you're more than happy with that. I know you weren't very happy to see Randy Orton always in the main event and usually always winning the world title, so I'm sure that's a nice change for you.
Yeah, I don't mind. I would much rather see Sheamus in the main event as world heavyweight champion. I love this guy. He's fantastic. He cut a good promo on SmackDown. He had a very good match with Damian Sandow. Sheamus beating Sandow via countout. Sandow ran away after taking a beating from Sheamus. He almost got hit with the brogue kick. He rolled right out of the ring and ran away. And Sheamus got the countout victory. I thought the match was really, really good. And that's the kind of stuff you get from Sheamus. Pure quality, man. This guy is the real deal. Every week, man, I talk about it. Sheamus is awesome. He is one of my favorite guys to watch in all of the WWE. You know, he is the future of the wrestling business, the future of the company. He's the rightful world heavyweight champion, man. I think that, Sheamus is great. And he had another great performance this week with Damian Sandow. He also got a win over on Raw. He teamed up with Randy Orton to beat Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio. Sheamus hitting the brogue kick on Ziggler to get the pinfall. Of course, Ziggler doing the job, not Del Rio. And Sheamus getting the win. Can't say enough good stuff about Sheamus, man. He's amazing. He is fantastic. Another guy who is absolutely amazing is Rey Mysterio. He beat Cody Rhodes with a very nice pin move after a jawbreaker. He just kind of flipped Cody and pinned him. It was a very nice move. And, again, something that only a guy like Rey Mysterio can do. Cody attacking Rey Mysterio after the match and tried to take his mask off, but Sin Cara making the save for Rey Mysterio. Sin Cara helping Rey get the 619 on Cody. And then they put a Sin Cara mask on Cody Rhodes as they celebrated. I like seeing Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio together. It's been something we've been talking about for, I'd say, over a year now, seeing Rey and Cara together. I guess somebody at WWE's paying attention, and they put them together again this week. Sin Cara making the save for Rey Mysterio. I like the match on SmackDown between Rey and Cody. I thought it was solid. I like that Rey got the over, and I like seeing Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio together.
Well, I like that they're put together, because if they're going to have a match at WrestleMania, it's good that they build up something. So, like, when the team breaks up, we'll have a reason to care about this match other than the fact that it's going to be a high-flying classic. So I'm glad that, you know, they're being put together. It seems like they're in the same storyline now together. I'd love to see them have a run for the tag team titles and then eventually break off and feud.
Yeah, I think that would be really interesting. You think that they're going to have a one-on-one match at WrestleMania?
I really hope that happens. I mean, what else is there for Rey to do at this point for WrestleMania? He always has, like, a special match, but it seems like he's really done everything at WrestleMania except have that great luchador match back and forth. So I think he can do that with Kara. Kara hasn't had a WrestleMania moment yet.
You think that they might make it mask versus mask? That'd be pretty old school, right? That'd be pretty Lucha Libre of them.
It's more than possible. They always seem to like tease the fact that the mask's on the line. Like Cody says, he's going to take Rey's mask, but it doesn't end up usually happening in the end. So I don't know. Like they did that mask versus mask on SmackDown in Mexico. That was interesting. I think WrestleMania could be really huge because I think more than likely Rey Mysterio would lose the mask.
Yeah. But I think at this point, you know, I've been against Rey Mysterio losing the mask for so long, but in a match with Sin Cara at WrestleMania, at this point in his career, I don't know if it would be the worst thing. And hell, I mean, we've seen Rey without a mask before, right? He wrestled for WCW without a mask for a while. So I could see him having one final run without the mask in a match with Sin Cara. I could see it being mask versus mask. I think that would be... That'd be really special, I think, for Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara.
Well, Rey's never had, like, a heel run in WWE, so it'd be interesting if he lost the mask and turned heel. It'd give him a fresh new run.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see, man. So, you know, maybe that will happen down the road. Speaking of Sin Cara, he teamed up with Brodus Clay this week to beat Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. Brodus getting the pin on Cody Rhodes. I thought the match was all right, and, you know, nothing particularly special. I thought the highlight of that whole segment, though, was Sin Cara doing the Brodus Clay Funkasaurus dance post-match. I thought that was hilarious. Sin Cara actually looking pretty good doing that dance. Not a bad dancer is Sin Cara. Speaking of Brodus Clay, how about Cameron, one of the Funkadactyls? Of course, the two Funkadactyls, Cameron and Naomi. Cameron got arrested for a DUI this week. So congratulations to you, Cameron. You're still in the WWE despite getting arrested. I mean, she is definitely skating on thin ice right now, considering, I mean, she's just one of Brodus Clay's dancers. She barely has a role in the company. She just got arrested. I mean, you got to figure that her role in the WWE right now is, it's dicey. She might not stick around. You can't just get arrested for a DUI and expect everything to be all good for you going forward. She's still in the WWE. She's still on tour with them. But, you know, that's definitely a big strike against her.
Well, aren't there rumors as well that she tried to bribe the police as well to get out of it?
Those are rumors. Those are rumors. I don't know about that.
You know, rumors like that don't help whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, the fact that the story could be even worse, yeah, that never helps. It doesn't look good for WWE as a company.
I think CM Punk should have a match with Brodus Clay, you know, and beat Brodus Clay on Raw this week and then berate Cameron. I think that would be pretty funny for her alcohol, you know, use. I'd like that. I'd like to see CM Punk do that. Be pretty heel, of CM Punk to berate a woman like that.
I'm surprised he hasn't done it on Twitter already.
Yeah, really? What are they waiting for? I mean, I'm writing this show for them. You're welcome, WWE. Elsewhere on Raw, Ronald Truth defeating Daniel Bryan via countout when Daniel Bryan was distracted by a fan chanting, "Yes, Adam." Ronald Truth getting the countout victory over Daniel Bryan. It's a huge win for Truth.
A win that's not really necessary at this point, him being tag team champion. But it's nice that the tag champs don't always lose in single matches for once. And considering Daniel Bryan's gimmick right now, it's all right, I think, for both characters.
Yeah, I think it made sense for Daniel Bryan to lose that way. He's going through the anger management. We'll see more of those anger management segments, I think, over the next few weeks on Raw. Daniel Bryan continues to be one of the most entertaining guys in the WWE, win or lose. Whatever it may be, Daniel Bryan is awesome, and hopefully he gets a big match at Night of Champions. What's going to happen with Dee Bry at Night of Champions? Another match with Kane? I mean, where does he go?
Yeah, it really just seems like another match with Kane, because they might be building the fact that his match at SummerSlam was a fluke. So the fact that he's got to beat Kane again, like, I can't see anything else right now, considering it's only like another week or two before Night of Champions.
Yeah, I guess we'll see the rematch. They're doing all that anger management stuff together. I don't really see the point, but, you know, oh well. Anything to get Daniel Bryan on pay-per-view. Speaking of the tag team division, the tag team champions Kofi and Truth did not wrestle on SmackDown, but there was a tag team match. The Primetime Players got a victory over Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. Hey, Tyson Kidd was actually on TV this week. He was on SmackDown. He looked really, really good. I mean, I thought the match was fantastic. Darren Young, though, getting the victory for his team. The Players defeating Gabriel and Kidd when Darren Young hit his finisher and got the pinfall on Justin Gabriel. So, you know, at least Justin Gabriel is the one who takes the pinfall. Tyson Kidd still looks strong, but I was just happy to see this match put together. I like all four of these guys. I like both tag teams. I love Tyson Kidd. I think he's one of the best things in the WWE that, you know, hasn't broke out yet. But I like this match, and hey, Primetime Players, man, millions of dollars.
Well, again, I think this helps build up Primetime Players for another shot at tag team titles. I think the next time they get the shot, they will capitalize on and become tag team champions. They keep doing it on the house shows that they win the belts and then they have to reverse the decision and they lose the belts. So I think it's just only a matter of time.
Millions of dollars, Primetime Players. I think they're actually better now without Abraham Washington because they're cutting their own promos and they're representing themselves. I think that this is how they're supposed to be. Darren Young, Titus O'Neil, together, I think that's enough. I don't think they ever really needed a mouthpiece, and I think that they're actually better now without AW.
I think it just added another element to it. I mean, AW was unique with his commentary. Just the fact that he was talking throughout the match and you could hear him, that was interesting. It was different, so it made them stand out a bit more. But now that they get to stand out on their own, like, you get to understand their characters more now.
Yeah.
So it's a different step forward, but I think it's also a progressive step.
Elsewhere, let's talk about the Divas here. Layla defeating Natalya via pinfall on Raw, which, you know, not a great match, but I thought it was very, very funny how Vicky Guerrero was just kind of standing on the apron the whole match and just waiting for it to finish, and then when it did finish and Layla was celebrating, Vicky got on the mic and was like, all right, that's it, get out of here now. And Layla, like, didn't do anything. She just kind of looked at Vicky and walked away. I thought that was pretty funny. And I really enjoyed the match on SmackDown that Natalya and Caitlyn had. It was just a beating. Natalya really laying a beatdown on Caitlyn. Looked like a very stiff match. I don't know if there was real animosity here or maybe, you know, they just wanted to make it look that way and make the match really stiff. But, oh man, it looked great. One of the best Divas matches that I've seen in a long time in the WWE. Caitlyn actually getting the pinfall with a quick roll-up on Natalya, but I thought they both did great, really selling the fact that, you know, maybe they don't like each other. They were feuding on Twitter, and the match delivered. I really enjoyed Caitlyn versus Natalya on SmackDown, which I didn't think I would enjoy, but man, Natalya brought the violence. She brought the stiffness into it, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, they've wrestled quite a few times, I think, on TV and on house shows, so I think they've gotten their chemistry down quite well now. And it just, like, justifies the fact that Natalya lost, so, you know, she got, you know, to take a lot of over in the match.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I'm a little bit disappointed that they don't do more with Natalya, but, you know, what are you going to do? Caitlyn versus Layla is official for Night of Champions, so there are three matches that are official for the pay-per-view on September the 16th. It'll be Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight title, John Cena challenging CM Punk for the WWE title, and Layla defending the Divas title against Caitlyn. John, that just about does it for us here on the program. No Ringside Report Radio this Wednesday night. There's going to be NFL football on the radio station, so we'll be back this Friday night at 11 p.m. for Ringside Report Radio. You'll be joining me in studio, as will Jeremy Prophet, this Friday night. And you'll also be joining me 1 week from tonight on Wrestling Uncensored Episode 100. We'll be live in studio, taking your phone calls, taking your tweets, taking your emails. Highly interactive show we will have for you next week. We'll also have a WWE superstar on the program and probably some other surprises as well. I'm looking to build up this show and really jam-pack it with some crazy stuff for the 100th episode of Wrestling Uncensored. I'm excited about this, John. It should be very, very good next week. Should be a lot of fun. Before we wrap up, though, Tell us when your next wrestling match will be. When can people see you smashing the jabronis inside the squared circle?
Well, again, it's going to be TOW10. All the information can be found at TOWLUTTE.com. I'll be wrestling Boogly on the show. Roddy Piper will be there. Victoria, a.k.a. Tara, will be there. Sly Grenades in the main event. Again, it's going to be a huge show. One of the biggest in Montreal.
All right, so go check out Johnny North. Also, follow him on Twitter at NorthGenesis. Follow me on Twitter at DaveSimonMMA. You can download each and every episode of Ringside Report Radio. That's the MMA show, or this show, Wrestling Uncensored, at www.ringsidereport.net and WrestlingUncensored.net. Two different addresses. Brings you to the same website. Again, I'll be back here on the radio station TSN. I guess it'll be TSN 690 officially on Friday when we're back here at 11 p.m. for some MMA talk and Ringside Report Radio. That does it for us here on the program. For Johnny North, I am Dave Simon, and this has been Wrestling Uncensored.
Thank you. You fuck too kind. Favor, don't do me no favors, I'll handle mine. I was gonna kill a couple rappers, but they did it to themselves. I was gonna do it with the flow, but they did it with the sales. I was gonna 9-11 them, but they didn't need the help. And they did a good job, them boys are talented as hell. So not only did they brick, they put a building up as well. They ran a plane into that building, and when that building fell, ran to the crash site with no mask and inhale. Toxins deep inside their lungs, and to both of them was fail. Blew a cloud out like an L, into a jar, into the smell. Cause they heard the secondhand smoke kills. Take it off, they was ill. Found out.